This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning, God, and that, Lord, your heart, Lord, is so here, Lord, that you want to share your heart with us, God. And Father, we just open our hearts, Lord. I just thank you, God, that I can be a vessel here this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, that your word will be so clear, God. And Holy Spirit, that you will do the work that you want to do this morning in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Andres has been sharing for a few weeks around Abram. And he asked me to share around the life of Sarah. And it's a topic that I love and that I've studied Sarah for a long time, so I'm excited to share with you this morning. But before I start that, we're going to focus on Hebrews. I always like giving the end of my sermon right at the beginning, then I can get it over and done with. But Hebrews 11 verse 11 says, "And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." So what's so powerful about Hebrews 11, is that Sarah is one of the people who are named as one of the heroes of the faith. So I'll tell you a story. A little while ago, we were in a place that had lots of street artists. I don't know if you've seen them before, but they actually sit there and they're drawing either a building or a landscape, and often they're drawing portraits of people. And in this particular square, there were a lot of people drawing portraits of people, but the artist would sit there and then he'll have like a display, like a portfolio of his past work. And I'm always looking at it and thinking, it's so good, I wonder whether it's actually his own original work, you know, you're not sure. So I walk past and I start looking at those guys who are actually sitting there drawing actual people while they're sitting there. And I look at the one, and I look at the person, and the picture, and then the next one. And then something started bugging me, and it was kind of in the back of my mind. And then my brother-in-law, who was with me, turned to me and he said, "They're being very generous." And that's exactly what I thought. It's like the people are so kind of flawless, you know. It's the same person, but it's like a little bit perfect. And when you look at commentaries on Sarah's life, people are quite negative about Sarah. I don't know if you are. If you think just right now, Abram's wife, Sarah, what is the immediate thoughts that come to your mind when you think about Sarah? And people, I've read some commentaries, and if we look just at the Old Testament perspective of Sarah, one of the commentaries I read actually said, "Sarah embodies themes of fear and doubt, while Abram, faith and hope." And that's what when I talk to people about Sarah, I find that a lot of people have that perspective of her. But if we look at the life of Sarah from a New Testament perspective, it's almost like God saying, let's paint her the way I see her. And that's a good thing, because that's the way God sees us. He doesn't go and say, let's paint all the flaws in her, all the mistakes that he or she has made. But let's see, let's show you through my perspective. So I'm not saying that it's not real what God says about Sarah in the New Testament. I think it is. But I think it's a journey that she went on to become the person who could actually be in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, where she has actually become a hero of the faith, and the word is actually saying we should emulate her. So I don't want the men in the audience to please shut down now, because we always learn about all the men of faith, and we always take something from it. So I want you as men also to open your hearts to learn something about the faith of Sarah and how she grew in her faith. So let's look at the reason why people see Sarah in a negative light, okay? So one of those things are, for example, you might remember when the three men came to Abram. It's quite a well-known story. Three men came to Abram, and he said, "You will have a son next year, and the son will come from Sarah." And remember where Sarah was? She was in the tent. And she laughed. Okay, so that's what the first thing people remember about Sarah, is she laughed. Genesis 18, verse 13 to 15. "Then the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, Yes, you did laugh. Okay, so this is one of the things that people think, oh, Sarah was that woman who was faithless. You know, she didn't have faith. She even laughed. She even lied. Interesting, I have to put this in because this is just interesting for me, that in one chapter before this, Genesis chapter 17, when God said to Abram the first time that Sarah was going to have a child, he actually fell down on his face and laughed, okay? So it wasn't just Sarah that laughed. Abram laughed too, but we always remember that Sarah is the one who laughed. Okay, so one of the flaws was that she laughed and she lied. And then there was another time when God had obviously given this promise to them that they were going to have a child, but Sarah was barren. And for many, many years, many years, she couldn't get a child. And I think she believed that the promise God had given to Abram was true. And so, like we sometimes do, we start taking matters into our own hands, okay? So Sarah decided, listen, clearly I'm not having a child, and clearly I'm 90 years old, I'm not going to have a child. I'm really, you know, it's impossible. So she decided to make her own plan, and she said to her husband, why don't you sleep with Hagar, my servant, and then have a child by her, and then the promise can still be fulfilled, because that's the only thing that makes sense to me right now. So she did that, and we know that Ishmael was born, and because of that step, that decision that Sarah made, there was actually long-term, very negative consequences because of the offspring of Ishmael after that. So because she actually took matters into her own hands, something quite negative long-term happened because of that. But again, in this situation, I think Abram didn't have to sleep with with Hagar. But anyway, just throwing it in there. Okay, then the third one, once Hagar did get pregnant, we read in Genesis 16, then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And then it carries on, your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So we see here that after this happened and she was pregnant, Sarah couldn't handle the situation, and Abram said, well, whatever you want, and she actually started mistreating her. So we see a lot of reasons why people would be negative about Sarah. And she mistreated her so much that that Hagar actually fled because of Sarah's treatment of her. But why then is the New Testament, so that's the Old Testament that we have, the account which is true and real, why would the New Testament then put her in the Hall of Faith? And then it says in Hebrews 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. So the New Testament says that it was actually because of Sarah's faith that she became pregnant. A lot of people think it was because of Abram's faith, but that she actually grew to a point where she had the faith that this child could actually be born. And then it also encourages us to follow example. So 1 Peter 3 verse 6, we're going to spend a bit of time there. It says, like Sarah, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So why would the New Testament say you have to be like Sarah? If Sarah was this person who was faithless, who treated people badly, why is the New Testament saying, listen, I actually am really proud of you if you become like Sarah? Okay, so we're going to look into that. I think just like Sarah, I think she had moments in her journey where she made mistakes, just like us. But I think she learned a few lessons on this journey that we also must learn on our journey. Like that artist, the New Testament is not focusing on the things that she did wrong. It's actually focusing on the way she grew in this journey. How did she grow to be a woman of faith? I believe her journey taught her that I am who God says I am. I think one of the most significant things she learned is that I am who God says I am. Something very significant happened to her is when Abram's name was changed from Abram to Abraham, he actually said to her, you are no longer to call Sarah Sarai, you are to call her Sarah. And in that moment, God actually came and established identity in Sarah's life. That's one thing she had to learn, is that her identity is who God says she is. Interesting, Sarai means princess, and Sarah also means princess. But it's almost like God was saying, you were born with the name princess, but then I confirm to you that you are a princess, and from you kings will come. So that second princess, Sarah, actually encompasses a lot more than just the word Sarah. It actually means you will bring forth kings. In Genesis 17, verse 15 to 16, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So God came and established identity to her, and that's exactly what he does with us when we get saved. He says to her, I have called you. I have made you my child. I've placed my spirit inside of you. Everything that the word says about you is true. But we have to come and grasp that. We have to grasp, how do I find my identity? Not in what the world says, not in what my parents says, not in what I became, but in who God says I am, and believing that and walking in that. So that's one of the things that Sarah established, is that she knew who God said she was. And she realized that I am who God says I am. Secondly, I believe her journey taught her that God's got my back. In Genesis 12, we read this account where Sarah was a really beautiful woman, and they were going into Egypt, and her husband was actually so scared that they were going to kill her so that they can take her as his wife, that he said to her, listen, Sarah, when we get to Egypt, just say that you're my sister, because then they'll treat me well for your sake, and it will go well with me. And that's exactly what they did. They came into Egypt, and the men went to Pharaoh and said, yo, this woman, she's really beautiful. And then Pharaoh took her into his house, and they treated Abram well for Sarah's sake, which again points to something wrong there, which is not good, what Abram did. But the reality is in Genesis 12, verse 17, Sarah submitted to what Abram said, and she said she's his sister, and was taken into Pharaoh's house, but she learned that God had her back. So we read that in Genesis 12, verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. I love that. Because of Abram's wife, Sarai. God had her back. Even though her husband made mistakes, even though she was led into a place that she seriously must have feared, must have been petrified of it, she learned in that process that God's got my back, that he will even, you know, inflict serious diseases on Pharaoh for my sake so that I can be released. And she was released after that. And then they were blessed, and then they left. And you would think that because this happened, that Abram would not make the same mistake twice. But he did. And then in Genesis 20, they came into another area called Gerar, and there was a man called, the head was Abimelech. And he said again to her, listen, they're going to kill me because of you. So imagine how beautiful she must have been. But they said, and he said to her, look, they're going to kill me because of you, so please just say you're my sister. And she did that, and Abimelech took her as his wife, or took her into his household. And again, God had her back. So that was amazing. But God, in Genesis 20, verse 30, but God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. And then it carries on, and he's like, no, God, I didn't know she was a married woman. And then God says, I'm going to kill you. And then in verse 18, he says, for the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abram's wife, Sarah. And that is so powerful for me, the faithfulness of God. And I think this is what this morning is about, and what the worship was about, is that God is faithful. So even though things happened to Sarah, which was not ideal, she learned in her journey that God has my back. Then I think her journey taught her that submission is key. Now in 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 6, this is a long bit, but it's really powerful. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him a Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Okay, this is a really powerful piece that you need to read like 5 times to get. But what's really amazing is that Sarah realized that the key to her life was submission. And this is why I'm saying, you are her daughters if you do what is right. And she obeyed her husband. She submitted to him. But she did not submit to her husband because he was always right, or because he always made the decisions that was in her best interest, which he clearly didn't. She learned that because God has my back, I can submit. So she did not submit to her husband because he was perfect and right. She submitted to her husband as unto the Lord, because it's God's will that we submit. She submitted because it's God's will to submit. And then it says she found a hope in God. So her hope was not in her husband's perfect behavior, his perfect decisions, that he's always going to make the decision that was best for her. Her hope was in God. That despite the times when, because submission, to be honest, only comes in when we don't agree, okay? If we agree on something, husbands and wives, then there's no submission really. We just agree. It's when we don't agree that submission comes in, where we have to go, okay, it's God's will in this situation, where we don't agree, that I do what my husband decides. And I can do that. And the reason why I think we don't want to submit is because we're afraid of negative consequences for us. Okay? That's why we don't want to submit in a situation, is because we think, you know, maybe the decision he's going to make is going to affect me negatively. Otherwise, I would obviously agree with the decision. So I'm obviously in this situation, I'm not really agreeing with his decision. And then what comes in is we become fearful. And that is what Sarah learned. She said, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And the only reason why she was able to not give way to fear is because she knew God had her back. And that's why we can submit. It's because it's God's will. We do the right thing. But it's because we know that whatever our husband decides, God is going to protect us from the negative consequences of that decision. Okay, so that is a key. The key, the submission was key for Sarah, but the key to submission is that we submit as unto God, and that our hope is in God, and that God will protect us. That's the only way we can actually submit and actually do it and follow her example. I think what often happens is when we allow that fear to come in, when there's a decision that your husband is making, or your finances, or something that you are feeling is going to affect you negatively, often what comes in is fear, and then we try to manipulate or control the situation. Okay, so because of our fear, we try to change his mind so that he actually does what we want to do. And what this is saying is, don't do that. Just give it to God and allow God to change him or to change the situation in your benefit. Okay, does that make sense? Just on the side there. But I think the ultimate issue, the ultimate thing here for men and women is that we submit to God, and that's something that she learned. I believe her journey taught her that beauty on the outside is born on the inside. It says here, and the focus here is not really that we shouldn't wear makeup or shouldn't use jewelry. The focus here is that the beauty that we have is not born on the outside. It's actually on the inside. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So that trust in God, that journey that she was on, taught her a trust in God that made her fearless, that gave her a quiet and a gentle spirit. Now, people who talk a lot say, I don't have a quiet and gentle spirit. It doesn't say you've got a quiet and gentle mouth. It just says you've got a quiet and a gentle spirit, which actually talks about a rest in God. It's that place where, you know, whatever happens, I know that God has my back, that God loves me, that he's going to work it together for my good. So what we see here, and that was evidence, is that, that what Sarah cultivated on the inside actually manifested on the outside, because two kings took her as his wife when she was quite old already. So there was a real outward beauty that she had, but that outward beauty was actually cultivated on the inside. So, after all of this, I talk very quickly. After all of this, Genesis 21 verse 1 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did with Sarah what he had promised." And that's amazing, that after Sarah had grown in these areas of trusting God, of realizing that he's got her back, she grew to the point where God was able to do what he said to her. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and he did for Sarah what he had promised." And then back to Hebrews 11, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." And I think what we can learn from Sarah's journey is that, similar to our journey, God calls us and he says, he tells us who we are. And he says, "I want you to believe that what I say about you is who you are." He wants us to grow in that place where he says, "You're my child. My spirit is on you. My gift is in you." And what's so powerful about Sarah and Abram is God did not just call Abram. If he just called Abram, then Hagar would have been enough. You know, then the promise would have come through Hagar. But God said, "I called Abram and I called Sarah." So if you're married here today, God has not just got a calling on your husband. God has got a calling on you two together. So your calling in life is not your career or your work. That is just a platform which God uses. But God has called you and your wife together to make an impact, to change the people around you, and to fulfill God's destiny. I think another thing that we learn is that faith is found in his faithfulness. Ultimately, she realized that God is good, that God works everything together for our good, and she learned that God has our back, her back, and we have to learn that God has our back. That no matter what happens in our life, that God is good, and that he's able to turn everything together for our good, to work it for our good. She learned that submission is key, and she learned, and as we should learn, that fear is the opposite of faith. She learned not to give way to fear. And fear is really, fear works like faith. Faith takes something which is unseen and brings it into the natural realm, makes it a reality. Fear works exactly the same way. Fear takes what we don't see yet, we believe it, and it manifests. So God says he doesn't want us to operate in fear, because that fear can actually manifest things in this world. He wants us to operate in faith so that what we believe can become a reality. And the powerful thing about her story and about our story is that God was not focused on her shortcomings. God, at the end of her life, did not focus on what the mistakes she had made or the mistakes that Abraham had made. God was focused on who she had become. And I think that's the same for us. God is gracious towards us. God is gracious in his view of us. So if today you're feeling far from God, I don't want you to run from God. God is not looking at your past. I think if we sat there and we had to draw a painting of our own life, you know, we'd include this mistake and the time I didn't spend with God the last week, and, you know, that I didn't trust my husband, and that I am actually fearful, and that I can't sleep at night, or whatever. You know, we would include all those things, but God is not looking at that. God is looking at where he's taking you. God is saying, "I'm taking you from where you are, and I'm taking you somewhere where you can realize that I am faithful, that you can trust me, that you don't have to be fearful." And that's a journey, and that was Sarah's journey. It took her 90 years to get there, but that was her journey. And that is our journey, that God today says, "Don't run from me. Run to me. I'm a good God. I'm a good father." And it's almost like, you know, that picture of when our children start walking, you know, with a little. And I remember the first time Danielle walked, she was standing on a chair, like a couch, and she was holding to the side, and she left for a few minutes, and she took two or three steps, and she held on again, and you celebrate that. It's, when she falls, it's not like I go and, you know, like, why don't you just walk now? Why don't you, you know, you gave two steps, so why can't you give five? That's not how God is with us, and sometimes we think God is like that with us. Sometimes we think, oh, I used to be there, and, you know, I'm just struggling at the moment. And God says, no, you know, I celebrate the steps that you have taken. Let's pick it up again. Let's pick up where we were, and let's keep walking, and let's hold on to God's faithfulness. So as the band comes up, let's just close our eyes. Another thing that I felt this morning that God laid on my heart is, some of you are here this morning, and you feel maybe that you have been led to a place, just like Abraham and Sarah were led through the wilderness, and you've been maybe by faith been led to a certain place or to a certain time in your life, and you're thinking, this isn't the way I expected it to turn out, you know? And you're maybe contemplating making your own decisions, making your own plans, just like Sarah did. She's like, oh, you know, this isn't really working. You know, let's give Hagar, let's make this work. And I just felt this morning, if you're in that place, that you are thinking, I really had faith and now I don't really have faith for this, don't make those plans. Don't take matters into your own hands. Trust God. Sometimes it's going to take time for God's promises to be fulfilled, but keep the faith. And then ultimately, she considered him faithful. So as we pray, Lord, this morning, Father, thank you, God, that you are faithful, God. Thank you, Father, that through the life of Sarah, God, we can learn, God, that you are faithful, that you have our back, God, and that we can trust you, Father. Father, I pray for every person who is fearful this morning. If you are just fearful of something, I'm not going to call you forward. You can come at the end if you want to, but just where you're at, just where you're sitting there, I just want us to spend a bit of time with God around this. If you're fearful this morning, I want you to bring those fears to God. I'm just going to give a few seconds. Just even name the things that you're fearful about. Yes, Father, thank you that we can just bring, Lord, our fears to you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to be flawless. You want us to be real. Lord, we bring our fears to you this morning, God, and thank you, Lord, that we can give it to you, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you will come and replace it with your faith. Father, if there are some of us here this morning who have become hopeless, maybe in your marriage or in your work or in a promise that you felt you had, you're losing hope. Father, thank you that we can come and bring that to you this morning, God. Ask, Father, that you will restore our hope. Thank you that we can look up to you again. Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, God. Thank you that you are good and that you work all things together for our good, Lord. I pray, Lord, where people are facing situations that seem hopeless, God, that you step into that situation. Just open that door for God to step in, because he is a resurrection God. He's the one who resurrected from death to life. So, Father, I pray that you resurrect, Lord, just lives here this morning, God, relationships with you here this morning, God, hope. Just come and just breathe your life into it again, Father. In Jesus' name.
Usher, if you can hand out communion for us. Let's just continue just to spend some time with the Lord. Around his word. So speak to him in your own words. thank you, Father, that we know that you have called each one of us, like you called Abram and Sarah, Lord, to follow you. You've called each one of us to follow you. And Lord, thank you, God, that even though we are not perfect like they were not perfect, you already compensated for our imperfection, for our sinfulness, and for our failings by sending your Son to become sin for us, to take away that offense, that failings, that you placed it upon your Son and that you punished him for it, so that we can be free from it. So that we can be free not to do whatever we want, but free to do what you have spoken over us. You have spoken over us that we belong to you, that we have become a new creation, that we are your children, and that you have poured out your Spirit over us, in us, to seal that promise. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, God, that you have a future and a hope for us, not to cause us harm, Lord, but to give us life. And thank you, God, that if we ever doubt, Lord, we can look at your Son and see the price that you have paid to seal it, to buy us back. Thank you for that covenant that you made. When you did with Abram, Lord, you did with us through your Son. You were willing to slaughter animals as a sign of a covenant with Abram. You were willing to slaughter your Son so that we may know for sure this promise that you have is true. And Lord, this morning I want to thank you, Father, that we can put faith in your promise, faith in what you said over us. Lord, thank you that it is not about the journey, but the end that matters to you. And that we can stand here with confidence, Lord, even though we make mistakes, you encourage us to stand again and to put our faith in you and never to let go. Thank you, God, that you celebrate our end and not our beginning. And Lord, so this morning, God, we can come to you, Lord. We can surrender our lives to you, Lord. Our past, but more than ever, our future. Lord, that we will be willing to follow you, willing to believe what you have said, believe what you have promised, believe the way that you have lived and call us to live, believe the words that you have spoken, and not be hearers only, but doers of it, knowing, Lord, that where you lead us is life. There is an inheritance. There is a promise. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so as we come today together, Lord, and I want to pray for each and every person here, Lord, what that wants to make this decision to follow you, to make this decision like Abram and Sarah, Lord, to put their faith in you, even though they are not perfect. Lord, your promise is true. And Lord, so today, God, if we are here and we feel that we are not perfect and we have failed and we have disqualified ourselves from your promise, you are saying to us today, what I have said, I will bring to pass if you just continue to believe. And if that is you this morning and you feel that you have failed, you feel that you are not worthy to follow God, to be part of His promise, God is saying to you, that is a lie. I love you and I've made a way for you to follow me. And if you want to turn from the lie to the truth, if you want to turn from your fear and your failings to the promises of God, if you feel far away from Him, maybe you have backslidden, maybe you've never given your life to God, God is speaking to you today and say, my calling and my purpose has not failed over your life. You must still believe and it will come to truth. It will come to be. If that is you this morning and you want to surrender to God, you want to give your life to Him, you want to turn around and say, God, I want to continue to believe. I want to believe again. I want to believe for the first time. If that is you, while all the eyes are closed, I just want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I hear you speak. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. You can drop it again. Is there anyone else who wants to respond to God's call on your life? It's not about your mistakes. It's not about your failing. It's about whether you are able to stand up again and trust me and follow me. Is there anyone else? God is speaking to you specifically. I believe there's somebody else. Is there anyone else here? Thank you for that hand. God, I thank you for those who are choosing to put their faith in you. God, I thank you, God, that you have not given up on them, because your plan for them is for eternity. And Lord, so I thank you, Lord, for every heart that turns, that chooses to put their faith in you and walk again with you. Lord, thank you that you receive them, you celebrate them, you will empower them to complete this race. And Lord, so each and every one of us, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that it is not possible in our own strength, but because of what you have done for us through your Son and through your Spirit that lives within us. And Lord, we choose to respond to you in faith as you call us to start off to believe that Jesus indeed is your Son. He is the redemption, the Savior of everyone. And that through faith in his sacrifice, we have this promise of eternal life. And so this morning, God, we choose to believe as we eat together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your blood that speaks for eternity, that whosoever believes in you have eternal life. Whoever eats your flesh and drinks your blood has life, eternal life. And Lord, so this morning, God, we take this cup and we drink it in faith and we proclaim that your word is true and we believe in you and we will follow you all the days of our life in Jesus' name. If you've raised your hand and you want to respond to God, I just want to pray a prayer, and I want us all to pray that this morning. Let's pray this together. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your promise. Today I choose to believe. To believe in you. Not in me, but in you. Thank you for your work. Thank you that through faith in you, I can have eternal life. And so today I choose to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just all stand. We're going to end off with a song. Let's just worship God and thank Him for His promise, for His love and His calling in our lives, and that we can follow Him without fear. Let's just worship Him together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.